Our God is always starting new things. The scriptures that we're about to hear show this leaning, this preference, if you will, of our God to always be leaning into the change, the new, the edge. As Eldon and I offer these two passages, first, the prophet Isaiah. What you'll hear after the prophet will be a reading from the gospel where Jesus is presented as an eight-day-old baby and an elderly man recognizes the newness that is in him. First Isaiah. Look, I'm doing a new thing, says our God. Now it sprouts up, don't you recognize it? I'm making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness.
A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. He said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your innermost being too." When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown, Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew up and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The word of God.
For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let me begin my message by saying, Happy New Year! So the spiritual question behind that is, if we're about to see some change, because a new year is a-coming, how open are you to change? How open am I to change? I think that's a very spiritual question. Are you someone who's always eager for change? You know, ready for the novelty of the new? Seeing it as always better than those solid old ways? Or are you one of those folks who are more bothered by the new, less open to new ideas as we sometimes are as we age, let's be honest? I mean, since you finally figured out how to do things the old way, and the old way of seeing the world is working for you just fine, thank you very much. Well, today's two scriptures that we heard reveal a God who seems to prefer change. Or at least God's redemptive stirrings smack in the middle of change. It seems to be what God's forte is. Perhaps God works this way because in change is when we human beings seem to be most open to grow. Think about that for a moment. Is there some change that has happened in your life that was foisted onto you? Maybe you didn't even choose it. But in looking back, that imposed change led you to a chapter of some of your greatest growth. It is true for most of us. We actually heard one of the passages, the Isaiah passage, a shorter one. We heard it a few weeks ago, you know, in the weeks of Advent that were leading up to Christmas Day, about the prophet foretelling a new thing God was going to do. "Look, I'm doing a new thing," says the Lord. But that other passage, the one we heard Eldon read a moment ago, is a little fragment of a story from Luke's storytelling as he reveals this walk-on bit actor named Simeon that we never hear another thing about in all the other gospel stories. It's just like a walk-on character. So let's take a look at him for just a minute. Tom, let's see that image. I was drawn to this image of someone's idea of who Simeon might have been holding the baby Jesus that day in the temple. And I was drawn to it because it reminds me of the photograph or the Facebook post. I bet you've received a card in the mail over this Christmas that shows a family gathering and the oldest matriarch in the family is holding the newest child in the family. I love those pictures. It kind of reminds me of that with old Simeon here. Well, Simeon, from what we gather in the story, is that he was a deeply faithful elderly man who had had this vision for some time that he would not see death until he could lay his eyes on the new Messiah that God was going to bring into the world, a Messiah that would usher in God's new and liberating reign among the people. So on this particular day, maybe he's there for morning prayers, who knows, but he's walking through the temple, and there he sees Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus being brought to the rabbi, 8 days old for circumcision as was required. And Simeon steps toward the family, and I'd like to think that he asked permission, but the next thing you know, he scooped up baby Jesus, holding him in his arms. And then Simeon, so taken by this moment with this baby, he bursts out loud talking to God. Some think that he broke into song as he says to God, "Oh, Master, now your servant, you can let him go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all people. It's a light of revelation for the Gentiles, and it's a glory for your people Israel." So do you hear something really big is just being said by this old guy? This fine old fellow, Simeon, is not only saying, "God, you can take me now. I've finally seen what I've been waiting for." But he says a radical thing about this child he's holding. He says that this Jesus, this little one, is going to bring blessing not just to the Jewish people, but to the Gentiles as well. Do you know who the Gentiles are? The Gentile is anyone who's not Jewish. And as I look around the room, that's pretty much all of us. Yeah. This is really worth noting because so much of what is predicted about what the Messiah would do would bless the house of Israel. It was for the Jews to be blessed. Sometimes it's the oldest among us who is open to the new. I'm glad to report. Okay, so here we are in the last Sunday of 2018. A new year is on the other side of those doors, just a couple of days away. Are you ready for it? As I've been thinking about the God of the Bible that seems to be so insistent that we be open to a new future. This God is always about the future. A new future of justice and mercy that God wants to work in us and through us. To get at what it might mean for you and me looking at a new year, I want to call in another voice. I want to tap for a minute the writings of a preacher who I have a lot of respect for, the Reverend Susan Sparks, who is the pastor at Madison Avenue Baptist Church in Manhattan. This sermon she preached, gets at a point way better than I could. She touches a couple of points leaning into the new year and doing maybe a little self-diagnostic about how open we are to the new thing God is doing. She titled her message, "Stay Thirsty, My Friends." So here's how she begins her sermon, and I want you to see if anyone in the house can recognize who she's talking about. People hang on his every word, even his prepositions. He lives vicariously through himself. He even bowls overhanded. He is the most interesting man in the world. Okay, someone in the house knows who we're talking about. Who is it? Why, it's the guy on the Dos Equis beer commercials, of course. I'm surprised you didn't pick up on that. The beer ad campaign known as the most interesting man in the world, that's actually several years old right now, but it's quite a classic, described as a cross between Ernest Hemingway and Don Draper. The commercial features this gray-haired, let's call him up, debonair, wouldn't you say? Gray-haired, rough-hewn spokesman who at the end of every ad smiles with his Dos Equis beer bottle in hand, leans toward the camera, and says, "Stay thirsty, my friends." And I proposed this morning in church, that is a great New Year's resolution. Now, I don't know about you, but at the beginning of every new year, I have the best of intentions of having this disciplined and scaled set of resolutions that are going to make my life finally come into the organization that I've always longed to have. Yet every year, no matter how much I try, the list generally devolves into a predictable list that I'll try to lose 10 pounds, I'll read more, and I'll try to be a little more spiritual. I don't know about your list, but Jane is already teasing me about my lofty goals to lose weight in a couple of weeks. But I'm here to say, no more. Going forward, I've decided to do something different. No more long lists or flowcharts. This year, I'm going to follow the timeless, simple Dos Equis wisdom to stay thirsty, my friends. Okay. I realize I'm the pastor up here talking to you, and this commercial encourages you to go out and buy beer. Worse things could happen. But I think this phrase also offers us some fresh insight on the year, including spiritually. What if we committed, you and me, to stay thirsty intellectually and emotionally and spiritually through 2019 in ways that lead to acts of service, because that's what it means to be a Christ follower. Oh, how much richer our life and the community around us would be. So I'm going to walk through this kind of quickly. Step one, okay? To be intellectually thirsty, I think, is probably the easiest of the three that we're talking about. All we have to do is take a lesson from little kids. Somewhere around the age of 5, we all find a new word in our vocabulary, a favorite word, a word that wears on the parents sometimes, but we begin to use it more than any other word, and that word, as we discuss with the children, is why. Why is the sun yellow? Why do the stars twinkle at night like they do? Why does Grandpa take so long in the bathroom? And at that early age, we are not afraid to ask questions. The looming dread of appearing ignorant does not have us feel self-conscious. And sadly, in adult life, actually, it more happens right around middle school, where we lose the candor. We fear that we might appear obsolete, ignorant, out of tune. We confuse at such moments. We confuse curiosity with ignorance. And when we stop asking questions, we stop learning, at least at some level. And when we stop learning, I don't think we're any more living the abundant life that Christ dreams for us. As it says in Proverbs chapter 2, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From God's mouth comes knowledge and understanding for those who seek it." So I'm here to say, the last Sunday of 2018, Oh, let us reclaim curiosity. Let us ask questions. Stay intellectually thirsty, my friends. Number two, staying emotionally thirsty, I think, is a little tougher. And please understand, when we talk about emotional thirst, I don't mean being clingy or always needing validation from other people. I more mean to be emotionally available to other people. To be thirsty at some level, I mean, the most physiological way, to be thirsty means you're a little empty. You have some space in yourself, and that's a good thing. Sometimes we need to do just that, to empty ourselves of ourselves. Doing this allows us to become thirsty again. Thirst, after all, thirsty for others. And if we're thirsty for others, I think that's when we seek them out and we have a clarity that we're really there available for another person. I think when we are thirsty and available for another human being, those are the moments when we're not consulting our watch or our phone or letting our mind be preoccupied with what I'm going to do next after I'm finished with this person. Haven't we all felt the gift of when someone is speaking to us and it's so clear they're giving us their undivided attention? Their very body and their eye contact communicates to us there is nowhere they would rather be than being with us in that moment. And it is a profound blessing to have the sense of presence of another person like that. That's what I mean. When we only focus on ourselves, or when we have this ongoing conversation that's always checking our own well-being, in those moments, we really are not available to practice the golden rule of loving another as ourselves. It's like St. Francis' wisdom in the prayer attributed to him, "Grant that we may not so much seek to be understood as to understand another." I really think that is the Christ way. So stay emotionally thirsty in your relationships, my friends. Third and final, probably the most difficult of the three is to be spiritually thirsty. If we are spiritually thirsty, we are craving meaning and purpose. There might even be a restlessness in us for that, and that is a good thing, to be seeking meaning and purpose. Sadly, this culture in our world too often is not a place that nurtures that kind of thirst. Our world is so big on spectacle, on things moving really fast in the culture. But the things that last, that are grounding us, often our culture isn't good about. And as a result, it's easy to fall into a trap of feeling insignificant, of feeling powerless in this world. So much of the news is negative. Every story seems to be about something so very huge, a problem that's not easily conquered, and in fact, no one seems to be close to the solution that would add to peace and harmony in the human family. And in the seat of power in our country's capital, people aren't even speaking to each other as the government shutdown moves into its ninth day. I think it is very important as Christ followers, as Christians in the world, to stay informed and to stay very engaged with culture. But it can get to a point where we become cynical if we're not careful, where we cease to care, where we lose our thirst for meaning. And I see it happen to people. When I feel insignificant, I think it is important to up my diet of spiritual reading, to put myself alongside the great themes that come out of Scripture, that God is indeed stirring in the hearts of people always, creating new things, that God happens to be so in love with the human family, that the Christ says that even the number of hairs on a head is known by our God. This God speaks of a significance about humans that is so much greater than what the culture would tell us about ourselves and each other. And even non-Christian voices know how to point to our significance. While Ralph Waldo Emerson might not have claimed to be Christian, he said a lot of wise things. Here's a quote by Emerson I think is worth going into the new year with. He said, "Be yourself, no base imitator of another, but be your best self. There is something which you can do better than another. Listen to the inward voice and bravely obey that. Do the things at which you are great, not what you were never made for." So for a moment, let's put aside our 21st century skepticism and cynicism and ponder this, that each of us has a role in this world, whether we realize it or not. And God is conspiring in our life that we might continually discover that in a way that leads us to fostering good community. The good news is that our understanding of life has no bearing to our significance. Aware or not, we go forward. We search for meaning. That's why we're here. That's what we do. Or at least it's what we get to do if we're staying spiritually thirsty, my friends. So I would want to lift up one challenge for you to think about going into the new year. Think about what is in the pattern of healthy habits. Can we pay attention to our spiritual health, of seeing to it that we have a steady diet of good spiritual reading and insight that comes to us, that keeps us afloat and aloft and visionary and always thirsty for more? It does boil down to asking ourselves, moving into the next chapter of life, do we want to stay intellectually thirsty and ask questions, and stay emotionally thirsty and listen, and stay spiritually thirsty and care and practice spiritual disciplines? So I want to end my little talk here with a call to action. I want to be very specific, me who likes my resolution list. I really think that we at Central Church have a lot of things going on that are positive and are very hopeful going into 2019. Some of it for me is around who we are trying to be as a church in spiritual education for us adults, specifically us adults. We have a whole slate of conversations that we're inviting people into about significant matters. And I want to take just a moment to raise the flag to celebrate a couple of new classes that are starting. The first one is a class called Dancing My Dream. And it looks at why it is Christians really ought to care about how Native American culture views spirituality. And what's the story of Native people in Michigan around us? What could we learn from that? The book and the class are both titled Dancing My Dream, and I'm excited that Sally Weaver, Sally, would you just raise your hand? Sally in the congregation is teaching that, along with some others that that will be brought in, one of whom will be Warren Potoski. I believe Warren is a Chippewa native, is that correct, Sally?
No, he's Odawa
and Lakota, but he wrote this book, and he's going to be coming to speak to the class some as well. So what a great conversation would happen, mind-expanding, that is going to be happening on Tuesday afternoons at 4 in the new term. So that's happening in the back, and Sally, I hope you might be in the gathering place. If anyone is curious, they could ask you about it. The other book I would and class I would talk about is one that I am excited to lead, called Backpacking with the Saints, that looks at the great spiritual legacy that has been given down to us by the likes of St. Teresa of Lisieux and Dag Hammarskjöld and Thomas Merton and Martin Luther. It's written by a writer, Belden Lane, who I was privileged to study under in New Mexico, and it's a fine read and a lot of treasure in this. And I will be offering this class on Fridays over the noon hour. I would invite you to come to see a part of that. So, see, I'm getting real specific here because I do think this is a path to staying thirsty for the good things of life in 2019, friends. After the worship, Donna and others will be at the table that'll help you know a little more about the classes, and you can always go to our website where there's a fuller description, more so than what's on the insert in your bulletin today. So, friends, I challenge you. I leave you with that call to action. Let's stay curious. Let's stay thirsty. In some ways, when you hang around our God, the best is yet to come. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.